Good morning, everyone. It's a good response. It's good to see everybody still surviving their feast here. Everything's going well. My wife and Connie are, my wife Connie and I are here for our seventh time. So we love the Jamaican Brethren. We love the Jamaican feast sites. It's for us a very unique but really wonderful experience to celebrate the feast this way. We've talked about the trap door, so I guess I need to set my clock so that it doesn't open on me as well. Let's get this. Oh, this could be interesting. Music is a powerful force, a very powerful method of communication. It has power to move us. It has power to remind us, power to lift us up. Something that very rarely does just the simple spoken word have the ability to do. Music is a creation of God, something that He inspired to be part of the human experience and the spiritual experience. And we see music being part of many of the momentous events in the history of God's creation, spiritual and physical. And music is a part of our history as a church. And really specifically, it's a part of our history as we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Music that we've come to know and music that we've come to love, music that reminds us of the feast, reminds us of the picture of the things that we're picturing here today. Some music that's written in our memories that we will always have with us. We heard some of those in the opening message Mr. Shaby gave. And they were included in that message because they were powerful, because they knew that they would have meaning to us. The Hallelujah Chorus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Rivers of Living Water, the Holy City, New Jerusalem. When those songs played, there was a current that went through the congregation. I was surrounded by people who were under their breath singing the words to those songs because those songs reached them, those songs touched them. Many of us can remember watching the Young Ambassadors perform those songs through the videos that we would show at the feast. And there actually are still Young Ambassadors walking among us. A few of them still around. I think we have to call them slightly older ambassadors now rather than young ambassadors, but still ambassadors. I know I can remember scenes from those videos. And they come to mind every time I hear those songs played. And really, those songs and some of the others, and we've had some powerful special music already, become part of our Feast of Tabernacles playlist. Songs that we would be happy to hear every year, over and over again. Given the power of music, given the importance of the Feast of Tabernacles, it really shouldn't come as any surprise that God inspired songs to be written specifically for the Feast of Tabernacles, specifically to help our preparation and our observance of this feast. Songs that would build our anticipation, songs that would help to restore our vision that it had probably dimmed a little bit as we live the rest of the year in the world. These songs go by various names. There is a little bit of a debate, I guess you would say, about when they were used, how they were used, what we should call them. Some call them the pilgrim songs because there's a tradition that as the Israelites approached Jerusalem, they would sing these songs over the days of their journey. And those songs would start and build toward that final time when they would arrive in Jerusalem, in God's city, and stand before His temple. Some call them the Songs of Degrees. Those of you that have an authorized version, the older version of the Bible, that's what it was called in those, or the Songs of Rising, or the Songs of Steps. Again, a tradition exists that during the time of the Second Temple, the priests would stand on, the 15 steps within the temple, and each day sing these songs to the people. And 15 is a number that is involved, as we'll go on a little bit, and I'll explain how that comes into play. Supporters of that idea point to Ezekiel 40, which actually says the future temple will have 15 steps as well, and maybe these songs will be sung then as well. Others will call them the Songs of Ascent. That's the term Mr. Shaby used when he referred to them in his opening message. The tradition behind that is similar to the tradition of the pilgrim songs, that they were written, they were brought together for those who were traveling to Jerusalem. As they ascended from the lowlands surrounding Jerusalem, they would lift their eyes to Jerusalem. They would lift their hearts and their hopes to Jerusalem as well. And these songs would help them and inspire them and move them and get them into a Feast of Tabernacles attitude, a Feast of Tabernacles state of mind. They were that generation, those people's Feast of Tabernacles playlist. They would sing these songs as they traveled, and they would be reminded of what God had promised them. They would sing, and their anticipation would grow. They would sing, and memories of past feasts would come flooding back. All of the things God wanted, all of the things God inspired these songs to be written for, to be compiled and to do. The songs that I'm talking about are contained in the Psalms. They're in 15 consecutive chapters, chapters 120 through 134. And we're going to do a very brief analysis or examination of those Psalms this morning. Because God didn't just intend for the people of Israel to sing during the feast. He didn't preserve those just for the nation of Israel. He preserved them for us as well. God intends for us to sing in many different ways at the feast, for that attitude to be in our heart and be part of the way that we worship Him, we celebrate this, we share with each other. If you are looking for a deeper dive than we'll be able to cover here today in the really very short time that we've got to look at this, the United Church of God has, in the Bible reading program, very detailed examination of individual verses, individual thoughts, much more depth than what we'll get today. All we're going to do today is really point out the fact that there are themes within those 15 Psalms that apply to us today. Songs that God wants us to sing in one way or another. Songs that do point us to the meaning of the feast and help our appreciation of the feast. And we're at a little bit of a disadvantage as we go through these because they are songs, words, and music. All we have right now is the words. We don't know the music that was played with them. So that's where you need to be involved. The music part is what hits your heart, that gets your emotions, that opens you up to the meaning of the words. So I'm asking all of you, as we go through these, maybe even pay less attention to every scripture that I give you, because we will hit a decent number quickly. But open your hearts to the ideas that God wants us to sing about at the feast. Let your mind and your imagination wander to what those Israelites might have been thinking about as they approach Jerusalem, to what this it means for us as Christians now, as we approach God's temple and God's kingdom. We're going to basically look at five themes that are contained within those 15 psalms. Each three psalms have a theme, or it's the title of the song, if you would like to look at it that way. And so we'll talk about those just briefly. We'll look at those. And again, let your mind go. The first theme that we find in chapters 120 through 122 of Psalms is the theme, I will lift my eyes to the hills. I will lift my eyes to the hills. And I apologize right now for whoever is handling the scriptures. I'm probably going to go a little faster than you may be able to keep up, so I know you'll do your best, but this will probably be fast. Begin in chapter 120. Let's read verses 1 and 2. In my distress I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. The journey, the pilgrimage, the first song starts sorrowful, still recognizing the deceit of the world that we're leaving, a world that's ruled by lies. And it starts a little sad because of that world. Verse 7, I am at peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Again, sorrowful that the world that they see around them is angry, that there's fighting and killing, something certainly we can all relate to in the world that we see around us today. Now we'll go to chapter 121 and read the first two verses there. I will lift my eyes to the hills. What is my response to that sorrow? I will lift my eyes. I will look for what God wants me to, the vision God has created for me, from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The solution to the sorrow we feel is to look to God, to remember that he is our help. Have you sung to God in praise for the help that he has given you? For those Israelites looking to Jerusalem, it was the high hill. It was a place of safety. For us, God is our help. God is the one who stands with us, the God who made heaven and earth. Chapter 122. I was glad when the Lord said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I loved when I was reminded of we're going to the feast, it's time to go. God wants us to sing in praise of the anticipation of the feast, to hold that in our hearts. And then we'll jump to verse 6 and 7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, peace within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I say now to you, peace be with you. This song ends with a prayer of peace. Peace within God's people. Peace for all who travel. Peace for those who keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Unto the hills I lift my eyes. Sing that in your hearts, in your mind, as you go through this feast. Unto the hills I lift my eyes. The second theme, the second song, contained in chapters 123 through 125. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. We'll begin in chapter 123. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from the New International Version. I lift up my eyes to you, to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of the slave looks to the hand of the master, and the eyes of the maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, Lord. till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured a lot. We have endured contempt. We have endured ridicule. Ridicule from the proud, contempt from the arrogant. The world still has a little bit of a hold on us. But again, the solution is to lift our eyes, to look to God. You will find all of these songs point us to God as the focus for our observance, of our celebration. We sing to God. Chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. God gives us freedom from the world when we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. He gives us the opportunity. We still have to leave it behind. But that's his intention. To break the snare. To break the traps that maybe we find ourselves in because of the world. And see freedom. And taste freedom from all of these things. Chapter 25, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. A promise that trust in God leads to eternity. And I hope we sing of eternity during the Feast of Tabernacles. We sing of the strength of God during the Feast of Tabernacles. The snare is broken and we are freed. The third, unless the Lord builds the house, in chapters 126 through 128. Chapter 126, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, or those who were captive of Zion, we were like those in a dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. When they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. They said, when we first saw that picture, when we first began to imagine God's plan, God's temple, it was like a dream. And I think sometimes things are so beautiful here, it seems like a dream. Something we've always dreamed of, and we only really experience rarely in our lives, certainly during the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, a direct reference to singing. That the response to that is an attitude of singing. Verse 4. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams from the south. This is a reference, if you read the commentaries, to those who haven't been called yet, to those who haven't been freed, that our concern, our thoughts aren't just on ourselves, aren't just even with the group of people that we have here. But remember that not everyone has escaped, that the world is still captive, and pray for them and sing for them. Chapter 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen awake in vain. We sing as a reminder that we must build on God. God must be our foundation. But recognition also that there are wonderful things that happen when God is allowed to build the house. Whether it's our families, our congregations individually, our church as a whole, the body of believers. Incredible and awesome things that God builds and that we can be a part of. Chapter or verse 3. I'm sorry, chapter 128, verse 3. Continuing with that idea of family, and that is the focus and the root and the source of how God is building. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very middle of your house, the center, the focus of your family, or in some ways how the activities of your family revolve around. Your children like olive plants all around the table. Again, a promise of blessing if we let God build. If God builds our house, builds our family. And beyond that, a spiritual parallel of what God is doing with his church as wife and as mother, and we as children gathered around the table. If we allow God to build his church the way he wants it to be built, if we allow ourselves to just be tools in that process, what God will build is awesome and is eternal. And we should sing about the glory of that building. Unless the Lord builds the house. The fourth theme, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Chapters 129 through 131. Verses 1 and 2 of 129. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel say, now many times they have afflicted me from my youth, but they have not prevailed against me. It was mentioned in the opening prayer, the trials we have, the difficulties that we face. We struggle. We work. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we've prevailed. But we're here. We're still walking. We gather together. They have not prevailed against you. And this, again, points back to the fact that God is the one that's giving us the strength. Do you sing about God's protection, about God's strength, and the wonderful things it does for you? Will you sing about that? Chapter 130, verse 3. If you, the Lord, marked, kept track of, made us pay the penalty for our iniquities, who would be able to stand? But verse 7, hope in the Lord. The hope for that, the hope because that we can stand, comes from the Lord. For there is where you find mercy. With him is abundant redemption. We cannot do this on our own. But with God, we can. Because of his mercy, because of the redemption that he has worked for us. And as I said, the song turns our focus to God. Another aspect of how he's working with us. God wants us to sing in praise for the way he supports us, for all that he's given us. Then we'll go to chapter 131 and read verse 3. O Israel, O body of Christ, O children of God, hope in the Lord from this time forth for forever. God gives us this holy day to strengthen us, to strengthen our hope, to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our vision. And he wants us to sing of our appreciation for that hope that he gives us. And that it is eternal, that it does not waver, that it can always be counted on. Our hope is in the Lord. And then the fifth theme, the fifth title, the fifth song in chapters 132 through 134. The Lord has chosen his people. The Lord has chosen his people. We'll read verses 4 and 5 of chapter 132. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. If you make that personal, I will not sleep until I allow myself to be a temple for God's Spirit, a dwelling place for God's Spirit within me. My goal, my being will be committed to making myself a vessel where God's Spirit can dwell. I desire to be worthy of that. I sing of the glory of being worthy of that. Verses 13 and 14. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever, he says. To Zion and to those he's called now. This is my resting place forever. God intends to be a part of us for eternity. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. We're nearing the end of the pilgrimage in these psalms. These are the last psalms that were sung near the end of the feast. Or as they approached Jerusalem, they were the last songs that they sung as they entered the city, saw the temple. Chapter 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is what pleases God. When we look around, we see all of our children enjoying each other. We see all of the conversation. You can't get everybody to shut up enough to start services on time. Brethren dwelling together in unity. That should make our hearts sing. It makes God's heart sing. He loves the Feast of Tabernacles. He loves what it pictures, but he loves immediately now what he sees. His children dwelling together in unity. And I wouldn't be surprised if there is singing around God's throne during this time in celebration of that. Verse 3 of chapter 133, that pleasure, that unity is like the dew of Hermon descending from the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded this blessing, life evermore. The end result of that unity, the end goal of our pilgrimage, life evermore with each other and with God and with Christ. Do you sing? Does your heart sing when you think of that? One final chapter, chapter 134. We'll read all three verses of this. Behold, bless the Lord. All of you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of Israel, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Be joyful. Look to God. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Respond to those blessings that you see by blessing God. In the sense that you praise him, that you thank him, that you commit your life to contributing to his vision. God has chosen his people. He has chosen each one of us. Personally chosen, each one of us. to be a part of this, to be a part of this feast, to be a part of his family, to share the joy, to share the vision, to sing to him. He has chosen us. God has chosen his people. Five great themes in the Songs of Ascent. Five songs that God inspired and intended for his people to sing during this time. A song of despair for this world and for all of those who live in it. And a song at the same time that is one of hope and safety and peace that comes from God. A song of praise for God, for his strength and his steadfastness in protecting us from the evils of this world. A song of acknowledgement that our only hope to reach the vision that's before us goes through God. His vision, his power, his love must be what prevails. A song of joy, because he's chosen his people. He's chosen his dwelling place. And he's chosen us. Songs that are intimately tied to this Feast of Tabernacles, to the observance of this feast, to the ultimate fulfillment of this feast. God wants his people to sing. God loves to hear his people sing. And definitely at this Feast of Tabernacles. So I'll leave you with one final question. During the rest of our time here at this Feast of Tabernacles, which of these songs will you sing?